Welcome to Bass Fan Radio, folks. I'm Terry Brown, and with me today is Chad Morgan Taylor. And Chad, you know, you just recently fished the Everstart down at the Lake Okeechobee, and I guess the lake has really changed a lot.
It has. The hurricanes have removed a lot of the stuff that was here last year and the years previous to that, and you know, it's also muddied up a lot of the water, so it kind of makes the lake fish pretty small for the most part.
Well, when we think about lakes fishing small, Okeechobee doesn't come to mind. You know, 21 miles long, 13 miles wide. You know, you can fish main water, you know, of course, tules, anything else you want to fish. And now you've got very, very few areas with clear water, and it sounded like that's where everybody was ganged up.
Absolutely. You know, you're exactly right. There is very little, very few areas, and they're not very big. And when you have a 200-plus boat tournament on this lake, it shoves a bunch of people into the same spots. It muddies a lot quicker now too. Some places that I found in practice for the Everstart that were clear and the fish were there and they were biting, I'm certain the fish are still there, but any time that you get a north or a south wind with a lot of these hydrilla beds and the eelgrass beds being gone, it just allows the wind to push the muddy water right into the area so much quicker. So in a day's time, you can literally be destroyed for a week's worth of work.
Well, you know, one of the things that we've seen over the years is that anglers have a tendency to find an area maybe on the north end of the lake and one on the south end of the lake based on the fact that they know maybe a cold front's going to blow in and you're going to have wind changes and wind direction changes that can adversely impact you. But it seems like now with the hurricanes coming through, maybe it could be that way all over the lake.
And it is. You're exactly right. It's that way all over the lake, whether you're north, south. I did exactly that in practice. I usually try to pick areas north, south, east, and west just in case, you know, the weather gets bad or, like you said, it changes and blows in the muddy water and destroys your area. I think we've all been impacted at some point in our careers by not expanding enough during practice and, you know, come tournament day to find you've had a flood that night or strong winds the day before and it's just destroyed your areas. For some reason, these fish are difficult to make bite in this dirty water down here unless you happen to be using live bait. But for an artificial lure presentation, it's really difficult. So it makes these clear water areas really valuable right now.
Well, you know, as you look at what's happened over the last, at the Everstart in particular, the flipping bite, of course, was there. JT Kenny came out with a monster sack, over 32 pounds first day, but you ended up in seventh place in that event and really kind of kept your own and did well and was able to maybe find you something for the FLW Tour.
Yeah, you know, I fished the same area as JT for the entire tournament except for the last day. JT is just an extremely good fisherman. He's really patient, and it really paid off for him. I don't know how well the area is going to hold up for the FLW tournament, though. The area's had so much pressure over the last week and a half, and there's been so many large catches taken out of here, and just guys running around in it. You know, when you do have a clear water area like that, unfortunately, it makes it real susceptible to spooking the fish, and when you have 75 boats in one area running around, you keep them spooked up all the time, and it becomes more and more difficult to get a bite. So I don't know if it's going to hold up or not, but I certainly am going to keep my eye on that area.
Well, you've had unseasonably warm weather in the Okeechobee area, and you know, one of the things that, you know, January comes around, people are thinking about bedding fish, pre-spawn fish in particular, and you know, as you mentioned, they're probably more spooky maybe even than the spawning fish. And once a bedding fish locks in, you know, a lot of times they'll stay there no matter what happens, but these pre-spawn fish can be really difficult to catch anyway.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and kind of what's unique about the area that myself and JT both fished. Actually, the guy that won the tournament ended up fishing really close with us as well. It's an area that's catching both the pre- and post-spawn fish, so we're catching them going and coming both ways. And, you know, you'll catch one real big fish that'll be full eggs and one that'll be spawned out, so that's what makes the area unique. But no matter which fish you are fishing for, the pre- or post-spawn, you know, like you mentioned, they seem to be extremely spooky. The first day you've seen the bigger catches come in of the Everstart tournament, and the first day, I caught 5 limits the first day. I had a limit in 20 minutes after starting fishing. The second day was a completely different story. I found it even more difficult to just get a bite. And I didn't get to cull very many fish that second day. I was real fortunate to have two big bites the second day, and I didn't lose either one of them. And you can look at the weights from the tournament and see that they just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And, you know, it was due to a lot of different factors.
Well, you know, being an Illinois guy, you know, you're north of the Mason-Dixon, and as guys that live in Illinois find out pretty readily is that, you know, we don't have a ton of fish in any of our impoundments necessarily, so you really have to be patient. You really got to go out there, and coming from Illinois has to maybe play a little bit to your advantage, I would think, you know, when you're fishing an event much like you just did.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the areas that we fish and everything that we fish down here, all the vegetation is different than we have in Illinois. But what is the same is just exactly like you said, the pressure and being in a crowd. You know, in Illinois we fish for five bites a day, and you know, you get tuned to that and you get acclimated to knowing that, you know, I only need five bites a day, and that definitely helped me in this tournament that I just fished. When you have all those boats around you, the bite goes from getting 30, 40 bites a day to 6 or 7. It's really not that big a deal, but it really plays with the mind of some of these guys that aren't used to doing that, that are used to catching 40, 50 fish a day down here. So it's definitely helped me. There's no doubt about that, being from Illinois.
Well, you put that flipping stick on and away you go. And, you know, you look at this thing, now you had the Everstart, you just finished it, and now you're getting ready to fish a tour event, FLW tour event. And that's got to be kind of nice to be able to go down there, spend the amount of time that you've spent there, and be able to kind of fine-tune what you found in the Everstart, I would think.
Yeah, you know, it is. I obviously learned some pretty good lessons. You know, while I was in the crowd of people, obviously you see people catching fish and see what they're keying on to catch their fish, and then, of course, what's happening with your bite. It does allow you not only to expand on that particular area, but to go to a couple other areas that I've been keeping my eye on pretty closely for the FLW Tour. And actually, the last day of this tournament, I ran to one of my other areas and caught 14, right at 14 pounds out of it to finish up the tournament. But, you know, it's just one of those deals where you just key on the little subtleties. And, you know, I'm really getting in tune with the fish that are in here right now. But at the same time, I'm also realizing what kind of, you know, damage has occurred to this place.
I look back at the days of Chad Morgan Taylor as the fireman and fishing local events and some of that stuff. You know, we just launched the Bass Fan Army Weekend Warrior deal, and you look at some of these guys now that are attempting to go pro. Now, you've been out there for quite a while now, but you look at a lot of the guys, they're just kind of following in your footprints. You know, they're following along and saying, well, you know, Chad was a great angler in Illinois, and now he's went out and he's taken these tours by storm. You know, you're kind of setting an example for the rest of the guys.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, it's still a learning experience. I mean, I've been really fortunate over the last couple of years to have some great finishes and to hold my own. And, you know, it's really an honor to be able to compete with the guys like Kevin Van Dam and Jay Yellis. It's a little intimidating at first, but, you know, I sure do enjoy anytime anybody comes up to me and wants to talk about, you know, what do I need to do to turn pro, and what do you contribute your success to? And I tell you, you know, it's just, it's being stubborn and hard-headed. It's putting your time in on the water, and it's paying attention to what all these other guys are saying and what they're doing, and just being a sponge, learning as much as you possibly can every day that you're on the water.
Well, Chad, I wish you luck at the FLW event. It's coming up in a couple of weeks, and I know you're going to be down there beating on them, trying to figure out what these fish are doing. And, you know, it's one of those things, I think, guys, if you get a chance to run into Chad Morgan Taylor out there on the road, make sure you pick his brain a little bit about what it takes to be a good tour angler, because he's done it in a very short time. Chad, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Terry. It's always an honor to talk with you, buddy.
I'm Terry Brown, and this has been Bass Fan Radio.